This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, July 1st. Good morning. I'm Chuck Alley. Here's today's headlines. Vineyard values slide. Dairy month draws puns. Water coalition bails on subsidence bill. And glyphosate duty request angers grower groups. California vineyard values are likely to fall further before the wine grape market begins stabilizing in 2027 or 2028. That according to a new terrain report highlighting the widening divide between premier properties and struggling vineyards in secondary regions. Terrain analyst Chris Bitter finds that declining wine sales, weak grape demand, and sharply higher farming costs have eroded vineyard income and left sellers greatly outnumbering buyers. California wine sales have fallen for four consecutive years and are about 20% below pre-pandemic levels. While just 2.6 million tons of grapes were used in 2025 compared with a 4 million ton annual average from 2012 through 2019. As much as 20% of the crop may have gone unharvested in each of the past 2 years because growers lacked buyers. Production costs in the meantime have risen between 50 and 100% over the past decade in some regions. Only 19 vineyards have sold through mid-May this year, despite 131 active listings, and properties are averaging nearly 400 days on the market. Values in marginal areas have dropped as much as 50% from their peak, while top-tier Napa, Sonoma, and other coastal vineyards have held up better. Bitter said more than 75,000 vineyard acres have been removed over 2 years, bringing supply closer to balance, though any recovery in property values is expected to be uneven and gradual. State water contractors and more than a dozen other organizations have withdrawn support for SB 872 after Senate amendments stripped away the measure's central funding commitment for repairing California's water system. Senator Jerry McNerney's bill was introduced as a rare compromise between state water project contractors and Delta environmental advocates. The original proposal called for $300 million annually split evenly between repairs to subsidence-damaged state conveyance canals and improvements to levees in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta and Susan March. McNerney said the package would protect water deliveries, Delta communities, farms, and habitat. The rewrite instead centers the bill on spending plans and reports without guaranteeing the $150 million annual allocations for either canal or levee projects. It also allows the Department of Water Resources to charge state water project contractors for preparing its plan. The changes leave SB 872 without dependable funding to address subsidence that could sharply reduce state water project capacity. The withdrawal marks a major revision for a bill that had been promoted as a breakthrough alliance among groups often divided over Delta water policy. On Tuesday, the bill still held the backing of the California Farm Bureau, along with several local water agencies and the influential Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. California lawmakers closed out June with dairy praise and cow puns as the assembly adopted a resolution proclaiming it Dairy Month. GOP Assemblymember Alexandra Macedo of Tulare said the resolution was personal because she grew up on a dairy farm. She credited producers with enduring early mornings and long days while caring for animals, stewarding land, and supplying food. Macedo said California produces about 20% of the nation's milk, and dairy remains the foundation of many rural economies supporting farms, processors, truckers, veterinarians, and other workers. Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair Esmeralda Soria of Fresno said the sector supports more than 200,000 jobs and contributes more than $20 billion annually to the state economy. She highlighted Tulare, Merced, and Fresno counties' production rankings. After lawmakers offered dairy-themed jokes, Macedo closed, "Holy cow, what great speeches those were." Commodity groups are protesting Monsanto's filing a petition seeking duties on glyphosate imported from China. The domestic glyphosate business, as it stands today, is not sustainable, the Bayer subsidiary said in a short statement. This action is needed to support long-term U.S. production for American farmers. China has engaged in, quote, predatory trade practices and subsidized imports of glyphosate, the statement said. The National Corn Growers Association, the American Soybean Association, and National Association of Wheat Growers all objected to the petitions filed with the Commerce Department and International Trade Commission seeking anti-dumping and countervailing duties. Tariffs on imported glyphosate will be felt by American farmers, National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Sam Kiefer said. Wheat growers are already facing stubbornly high input costs, weak commodity prices, and continued market uncertainty. The announcement comes at a difficult time in a tough farm economy. The National Corn Growers called the development, quote, highly concerning for America's corn farmers, and the American Soybean Association said it, quote, has consistently opposed actions taken by input suppliers to restrict imports through countervailing duty and anti-dumping actions. Monsanto is the only domestic producer of glyphosate. Here's today's final word. We never imagined that one of the greatest threats to our survival would come from imported wine being blended into products labeled as American, while California grapes were left rotting on the vine. That Monterey County wine grape grower Jason Smith in an op-ed for Cal Matters advocating for a bill to require wine labeled American to be made entirely from U.S. grown grapes. You can read about the demise of AB 1585 in the Agriculture West newsletter hitting inboxes later this morning. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, July 1st. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jack Allen.